Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in to Inside Carolina Live postgame. Whew, Carolina 89-84 over Ohio State in the CBS Sports Classic up at Madison Square Garden. I've got Dewey Burke here with me. Dewey, I'm going to let you run with this, but I'm going to say I can't remember a game that a North Carolina basketball team had to have as much as this one. And it just got more so the way the game continued to play out. What an effort by the Tar Heels. Come from behind, get it done in overtime, 89-84. Your overall thoughts?
Yeah, as you said, had to have it. And it's funny you say that, and we did not rehearse this, but I said exactly that to my friends on our text after we won. I said, had to have it. And we did. And some gutty performances by our guys in the second half. First half was, let's just be honest, was incredibly disappointing. And it sounds like Hubert really challenged the guys at halftime and just outright called them soft. And that's how they played in the first half. So we can talk about why that's so puzzling with a team that has so much experience. But the bottom line is they came back and they fought. They made timely shots. I thought RJ and Caleb were big time down the stretch. Obviously, Armando is the one who kept us in the game. And then I thought the shot by Pete and the play call and the pass should not be overlooked. Was such an unbelievable play. And obviously also making the decision to go from full court, throw it to half court, call another timeout. The execution there was really solid. So I'm proud of the guys. I really am. And I'm really hopeful that this gives them confidence because they need it. And to lose another one game like this, a la Alabama, would have been really, really tough for this team. So absolutely had to have it. Seemed like the crowd was great. And kids made plays down the stretch.
Yeah, the Madison Square Garden crowd, I know a few people that were up there. It was predominantly – I know there's four teams up there, but if there's even remotely close to as many fans for other schools as there were North Carolina fans, that would be impressive because it was definitely – felt like watching on TV, it was a home court or home court advantage for North Carolina. Let's sort of work backwards. Let's talk about the play at the end of the regulation. I didn't really understand, and I want your take on this because you're a much better basketball mind. They got back in the game pressing and being aggressive on defense. And once they got it tied, then they sort of backed back into what they had been doing and allowed, I believe, Sensabaugh to hit the shot. And that dude's a stud. I love that kind of game.
Yeah, for those, I don't follow the recruiting and I don't know how highly ranked the kid was, but Wes on our text, obviously he just won a game, but on our text, Wes said that kid killed us. He's one and done. I never even heard of the kid, and he's really good, really good.
And he was just able to basically work Leaky Black whenever he needed to. So he makes the shot. Carolina has 2 seconds left. You hold some time out, so you're able to get the ball. Talk about that play, what you saw there, because I think, I'll be honest, when I saw it going cross court, it was what in the heck? But when Pete let it go, it was like, that's in.
Just look good, break yeah. It down. It looked good right off the hand. And so, it's a gutsy call by Hubert to throw the ball to somebody that had not made an outside shot all night. And no doubt they've practiced it. Yeah, you practice those situations often. But you sure thought the ball was going to Caleb or to RJ for a look. I guess maybe they could have tried to throw it into Mondo, but I don't know that he would have had time to turn and make any kind of a quality shot. And so they ran some misdirection with Caleb, and that's really where I thought the ball was going to go. And as I said before, the pass by Leaky needs to be talked about because that – is a very awkward pass that you don't make very often. Now, like I said, I'm sure they've practiced it. And then the other thing I'll say is we've seen Pete be able to catch the ball and make a kind of turnaround fading shot several times this season. He's actually made a bunch of them over his other shoulder, over his right shoulder. But this one was over his left shoulder, which is actually a harder shot. But credit the kid for making the catch, being patient enough to not rush the shot. And as you said, as soon as it left his hand, it looked good. So, and again, let's not discount the fact that they executed perfectly to get the ball from the baseline up to half court to RJ to then run the set that ultimately tied the game. So, coaches look good when you execute, and they executed.
I was going to say, we've certainly banged on them a lot in the early season about the lack of execution and the lack of a lot of things, but they did it perfectly there, were able to tie the game at the end of regulation. And I thought Ohio State was shell-shocked. I mean, credit them for not going away completely in overtime, but once that shot went in, you could see their bench. I mean, it was a lot of no ways and all that kind of stuff. A fantastic play all around. And I've said it. I've questioned Hubert's some of the sets they've run, and there were times today, and we can talk about it briefly, where Baycott's working underneath, and they managed to not even get it inside once on a possession and get a jacked-up three-pointer. But that, when it mattered, when it had to happen, when the absolutely win or lose had to happen, they got it done. So credit Hubert and his staff for that play. Credit the players for executing it. Let's talk a bit about Armando Baycott. He's still got to make some of the bunnies he misses. He was 11 for 19, probably easily could have been 15 for 19 or even 16 for 19. But when he figured it out and got his legs underneath him, he was really good, Dewey. 28-15.
He was telling me, and I thought, because obviously we started the game halfway decently and we're up 4 or 5, and then they made a big run and went up double digits. And it started to feel like some other moments during the season where we just were out of sync offensively. Everything was hard, no easy baskets, no catch and shoot looks. And I just flat out thought Armando just started to play harder than anybody else on the court, right? It wasn't necessarily pretty. But it's like he figured out that I gotta play harder than everybody else and see if my teammates will come with me. There was a clear change, I thought, in his effort level from, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but maybe the 6 minute mark of the first half through the rest of the game. And he just played harder. Simple as that. He did miss some easy ones, but his effort was what got us back in the game ultimately. And we made the good run, the good push to start the half. And then they executed. I was when it got back to 9, I'm thinking to myself, God, we cannot execute well enough in the half court, and they are. And I don't know how we get back in the game. But then, as you said, we started to. Sorry, getting a FaceTime from Mr. Hansbrough.
Get him on the show.
We started to press and change the tempo a little bit, and that disrupted Ohio State's rhythm and allowed us to ultimately get back in the game down the stretch where it was one possession. So, but it was Mondo's effort, and that was the key. And it could have been a 20-point deficit at halftime had he not got a couple buckets and got it going at the end of the first half, and then it carried over into the second, and we were then in the game.
Yep. Somebody said something about soft and inconsistent. My phrasing of it, if Carolina had not managed to pull this one out, would have been frustrating, because they do it in stretches. And to your point earlier, it's like 4 or 5 minute stretches. They get it rolling. And then there's 2 or 3 minutes where they just look like they haven't played together before. And so that's the interesting dynamic. I'll let you get out of here. I know you're busy. Caleb Love, 8 for 20. I'd take that. I'd take 8 for 20 most nights, yeah. 22 points, 7 assists, career high in assists. And then RJ Davis with some big shots. Just sort of speak to the guard play. I mean, 22 and 21, you like to see that from those two. But I thought RJ especially stepped up really. Caleb hits his shots. He gets his shots and he does his thing. But then there are times where you wonder what he's thinking. But RJ, late second half, he wasn't going to lose at home.
No, he was terrific, and you feel good for him to have such a good game in New York. The set that they run, I think Hubert calls it 25 pop. I only say that because I was reading his lips, where RJ enters it at the high elbow to Caleb, and then he throws it right back to him. When he got that really nice finish at the rim, I think that cut it to two late there in the game. And then obviously the step back three in front of our bench, made big shots, made big free throws. Caleb coming out in overtime, making a couple two-pointers. I got to go back to what you said, though. It still remains frustrating, because when you have that maddening inconsistency, you could say that you'd expect that from a younger group of players that hadn't played together as much as this group has. But I mean, let's just be honest. There just isn't an excuse for these lapses we have in our mentality for the game. RJ and Caleb have started, it's got to be close to 100 games now. And they have these periods where they're so casual and careless with the basketball. It makes my head explode. And Caleb has those really, really challenging contested shots. You heard Raftery on the telecast, just unnecessary shots. And then he has two possessions in a row where he's completely under control, gets to the rim and finishes, makes a play like in the first half where he penetrated and dished it to Armando for the big dunk. RJ makes all his free throws. So they're juniors. We shouldn't be talking about this. Let's be honest. We should not be talking about this. So they need to figure out where they can find 40-minute consistency, because those two as a backcourt consistently playing where they take care of the ball and take quality shots, we're as good as any backcourt in the league or in the whole country, I should say. Man, those minutes of frustrating inconsistency, I still don't understand them. And imagine what it must be like for the staff, because you've seen these kids play at a high level. You saw them do it in overtime. And then you're going to watch the first half tape and you're going to wonder,
who are these guys?
Is that the same kid? So that's the challenge for the staff, is whatever he said at halftime worked, and maybe he needs to be hard on him. I don't know, but sounds like he challenged him and it worked.
Yeah, I can't figure out which is the out-of-body experience. It is the lackadaisical turning it over, just seemingly giving it to the other team, the out-of-body part, or is it the going nuts and hitting shots from all over the court and making great plays? Is that the out-of-body part? I don't know. It's got to be maddening. If it's maddening watching, it's got to be maddening.
That's my point. Imagine coaching those guys and trying to figure out, what do I have to message to get them to be mentally in it for 40 minutes?
Yeah.
The casual turnovers. I mean, Caleb did it against the Citadel like four times, and I couldn't believe it. Yeah. But, and he's a junior. And then he, you know, makes plays down the stretch like he did tonight, and you're like, man, he could be a first-round pick.
Yeah, indeed. And that's I don't understand it. I don't think we ever will get an answer the rest of this season, but Carolina manages to get 89-84. And, of course, I forgot to mention Johnny T-Shirt's our sponsor. Everybody knows I like to talk about Johnny T-Shirt. Dewey, just I'll let you get out of here. No need to run very long. Everybody watch the game. Shout out to the 150-plus people in here for the live chat. North Carolina gets a win against Ohio State. Anything else? What else can we talk about? A couple more points here in this game. I mean, Pete Nance, 4-for-11, couldn't throw it in the ocean from three, hits a great shot. Leaky Black struggled defending for probably the first time in his career against Sensabaugh. Makes a great pass to make
and
a play.
Big three.
And let's talk about that. When he doesn't think, here's one of the guys. When he catches and shoots, he looks solid. Mm-hmm. How do you get him, as Hubert Davis and the staff, to just play that way? And he's a fifth-year guy.
I know. Well, that means it's not happening, right? It would have happened already. But he does so many other things well for us. And it looked like he was guarding a pro tonight. And Sensabaugh, that kid's really good. And so he met his match. But he tried to make it as tough as he could on him. The shot at the end of regulation was tough. The shot in overtime from 5-3 was tough. And kid's good. The dunk, baseline. Oof. I mean, he's a real player. But look, my takeaway, my ultimate conclusion here is this ought to give him confidence. It was national stage, playing at the Garden, nothing like that. I'll never forget when we played at the Garden my senior year. It's something you talk about and remember. And I was having a conversation on Friday with somebody that I met, and they were asking about my Carolina experiences. And one of the things I said was I got to play at the Garden. It's a really, really special thing. And so they got to go in there and get a win. And I'm hopeful it gives them confidence rolling into Michigan and just – maybe changes the trajectory a little bit, because man, was you not felt good at all having to beat Michigan to not be 7-6 at home for Christmas. That would have felt real salty. So hopefully it gives them some good confidence.
Indeed. Carolina 89-84, Michigan coming up on Wednesday, and then a Christmas break. We'll talk after Michigan, Dewey, but I wanted to say many thanks for you taking the time to do these podcasts. I know our folks love them. The Inside Carolina people love them. I love talking to you about basketball because I learn every day. So appreciate it, Dewey.
No, tell me, I love it too. You know that. I appreciate it. Love being on with you. So thanks for having me.
Yep. That's been Inside Carolina's post-game podcast. Carolina gets a win. I don't know how many remotes or TVs are left in the North Carolina fandom, but it goes down in the win column. Hell of a ball game from Hubert Davis and his team to go to 8-4. That's Dewey Burke. I've been Tommy Ashley. Johnny T-Shirt's our sponsor. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.